Hey, PG Tab, Tim Schindel here, coming to you from Victoria, from the ballpark where my son used to play Little League Baseball. And the reason that I'm here is because my entire neighborhood is a construction zone right now, and every neighbor is out hammering, and there was no quiet place inside my house or outside. So I thought I'd come here to a place where there are lots of fond memories and share a little bit with you and it's relatively quiet. So you may hear an airplane flying overhead or see a car going by or some people in the background, but that's just life in a park. And so, hey, let me tell you a little bit about myself and Leading Influence, what we do in case we are new to you. So Leading Influence was founded in 2007. We provide in-person chaplaincy care for politicians all across Canada. And I'm going to tell you more about what all across Canada means, because we're quite excited about that. I serve as national director and also as our Ottawa chaplain. We have had an exciting year of growth. In fact, July 1st is a very special day for us because it's the day that we mark our Ontario chaplain's first anniversary with us. And so counting from July 1st, 2019 till middle of June, 2020, we have added chaplains in Ontario, in Alberta. And just in the last couple of weeks, we have added a pastoral couple who will be serving on our chaplaincy team at Quebec City. And we are so excited to finally be able to include La Belle Province into the Leading Influence family. And we are delighted to be with them, have them with us. I spent a couple of days with Grant and Anne Claire in Quebec City last year, and just had an incredible time last fall. Toured me around the National Assembly, showed me around their beautiful city, and they are a wonderful, wonderful people. So today we have chaplains in every province, listen to this, west of New Brunswick. And with the exception of Manitoba. So listen, if you're living in Prince George, you're feeling called to serve as a chaplain at the Manitoba legislature. The winters in Manitoba aren't that much different than the winters in Prince George. So, you know, if you want to come, let me know, and I will be happy to talk with you about how you can join our team. So chaplaincy is the heart and soul of what we do. We love it. We believe in it. We give ourselves to it. But the other part of what we do that is really important, it's really the backbone of our ministry, are our prayer networks. And We have prayer networks again in every province west of New Brunswick, except this time including Manitoba. And it has been just an exceptional joy to see these groups grow and develop. And we are seeing some remarkable things happen. I think collectively we have about 6,500 people on our combined prayer network lists across the country who have committed to pray along with us on a regular basis for those who God has put in authority over us and entrusted with the responsibility of leadership and governance. One of the really exciting things for us with the addition of Grant and Anne Claire in Quebec City is that for the first time ever, we are operating our first bilingual prayer network. It starts this coming Wednesday, June 24th. We are launching it. It's called Prions Québec or Pray Quebec. And we are launching on St. Jean-Baptiste Day, which is like their version of July 1st. And we are so excited to be doing this. If you want to, just to be a blessing to Grant and Anne Claire, pull out your phones, your devices, whatever you're doing, and hit Prions Québec and just like it, just to get the first post on June 24th when Anne Claire is going to be there praying in French and English for her magnificent province. We are so excited to have them on our team. If you want to pray along with us for British Columbia and our British Columbia leaders, and that would be fantastic. You can go to either praybc.com if you want to get those updates by email, or you can just like us on the Facebook page, praybc.com or praybc on Facebook, and find that there. One of the remarkable things that has happened with us through this COVID season is that our prayer networks have been completely revitalized. And I feel like there's something really, really significant in this. We have days where we have almost 5,000 people a day praying along with us. So what we've done, usually we're praying for individual politicians in each province, but what we did was several months ago, we thought the burden on the nation as a whole right now is so significant that what we want to do is we want to shift and pray about national issues. And in doing that, it was like we just hit start on all of our networks. Things just took off in a remarkable way. People engaged and began to pray along with us and share those posts and one thing and another. And so there were days where we had almost 5,000 people. We've had almost 5,000 people praying along with us. And it is a remarkable, remarkable thing. And I feel like this is a significant season in our land, and that in the sense that the church is taking ownership for the state of our nation in ways that in almost 40 years of ministry now, I have not seen before. This is something exceptional that's going on. And deep, deep in my heart, I want to believe that this is a precursor to the fulfillment of 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so, I hope you're praying, pray along with me to that end, that God would use COVID to bring just about a national transformation and renewal and revival in our land that would sweep from coast to coast to coast. And that would be just an amazing thing to see God move in such a powerful way. Hey, I want to tell you about a couple of new things that we are doing. One is very significant and will be a long-term part of our legacy, I believe. And so I'm going to tell you about that first. Then I'll get you to something a little more fun that we're working on. So the first is we are launching a leadership course called Lead Well. Lead Well is a 7-month online course designed to help aspiring leaders prepare for the challenges of public life. It's proactive, it's preventative. We want to put into their lives preventative foundations that help them avoid the pitfalls and crises that often can come along with public life rather than just trying to manage those things. And we have put together a remarkable faculty of, and so we'll be able to offer diversified instruction, mentorship, practical application, and leadership coaching. And you can learn more about it by going to leadinginfluence.com/leadwell. And you can just kind of take a look at an overview of what's going on there. The course launches September of 2020. So this fall, we'll be launching. And the vision is that we're going to have, it's a 7-month online module course. And we are hoping that by the end of it, COVID restrictions will have changed. Things will have shifted enough in the nation that we can bring our entire cohort together from our initial course, bring them together, pray with them, have them do our last few sessions with them, and launch them as they prepare to pursue public office. I think this is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And by God's grace, 15, 20, 25 years from now, as we continue to run Lead Well and refine it and see it grow and build out, just we think that amazing things are going to happen with this, and the outcomes across our nation will be absolutely spectacular. The other thing I want to tell you about is a fun little project that I'm working on. It's not really churchy, but it is a deep, deep biblical spiritual principle behind it. And so it was early in May, and I was just in that space between sleep and waking up, just kind of in that foggy, fuzzy place. And it's a time of day when I often will hear God speak to me, give me direction and instruction. And so as in that moment, I heard God say to me, it's time to think about recovery. Now, I have to tell you that I was delighted to hear him say it's time to think about recovery, because I was so tired of thinking about COVID and how it was impacting my work and our ministry and how it was creating challenges for us and one thing and another. So the opportunity to think about something other than COVID, just like a beautiful thing for me. But I had no idea what God was saying. Think about recovery. And so I began to listen. I began to pay attention to what he was putting in front of me, what I was hearing by chance, but not really by chance. And I began to share those things with some trusted friends and colleagues. And we went through a process of discovery that led to the formation of a project that we're calling The Big Spend. So The Big Spend is a one-day bi-local event designed to help revive Canada's economy. We're doing a very simple thing, just inviting Canadians across the country to become what we're calling spend friends by spending on purpose at a local business on July 25. Just think Christmas in July. We're reaching out to churches like PG Tab, Chambers of Commerce, community groups, and inviting them to help us generate a $100 million spend on July 25. Hey, you know what? In church language, we say, I just want to be a blessing. I just want to be a blessing. And it's great to want to be a blessing. But you know, one of the things that I am absolutely convinced of is that God has given us the capacity not just to be a blessing, but that we can actually bring a blessing. We can bring a blessing into the lives of people who need it. And our local business, locally owned business, small business sector across the nation desperately needs some people to come alongside and help them. And so we want to bring a blessing to them. So on July 25, here's my challenge to you. I want you to bring a blessing to locally owned businesses in Prince George. If you want to learn more about what we're doing, check us out on thebigspend.com and note where the church is placed in the cityscape on the background, thebigspend.com, or you can like us on Facebook, again, The Big Spend. And we would just be delighted to have you share with us and to have you share this with your friends. It's going to be so much fun as we go about bringing a blessing to local businesses. I want to say this to you. I am honored to be a missions partner of PGTAB. It means a lot to me that you have chosen to stand with us and support us as we serve leaders now across the country. When I started with you, I was working only in Victoria. Now I'm directing a national ministry and serving in Ottawa. So my role has changed, but thank you so much for your partnership and standing with us in this way. None of what we do happens without people like you. If you're interested in partnering with us, you're feeling God speaking to us, you want to sow into this, you can go to leadinginfluence.com/donate. And you can make do a gift there, make a commitment, monthly partner, whatever it is you want to do. And we'd be really, really happy for that. So let me shift gears here a little bit, and I want to just share from the Word for a few minutes. I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to do this, and I will say that as much as I love to come to Prince George, this is a lot easier than the flights and connections, and a lot cheaper for everyone involved, so there's a way better way to go. So it's not likely that you've ever heard of a man named Albert Hubbard. And Albert Hubbard was, he was an actor, he lived in New York City, and he was also a writer. And Hubbard coined the expression, he's the person that coined the expression, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Now, if I was doing this at home like I had planned, I would have had a nice tall glass of lemonade that I made last night, but alas, I can't bring lemonade to the ballpark. I could, but I chose not to. Hubbard used that expression in an obituary that he wrote for a man named Marshall Wilder. Now, Wilder was an interesting guy. He was a person who lived with dwarfism. He was born with dwarfism, and he had a really fascinating life. He worked as a bowling pin setter, and he had a whole bunch of different kind of jobs along the way. And then he was what they called a file boy at a large law firm in New York. And Wilder was a bit of a character, and he learned how to, he liked being funny and telling jokes, one thing and another, but he also learned how to do impressions. And so he built a whole career and eventually became an actor and participated in a number of movies. And one of his sons was a pioneer in the TV industry in America. But Hubbard said this of Wilder when he was writing his obituaries, he said, he looked around at the lemons that life had given him and he chose to make lemonade. Now, I'm drawn to people who know how to turn their setbacks into comebacks. One of my closest friends is a Paralympian today, gold medalist, Paralympian, holds world records in wheelchair racing. She's had an exceptional career and a remarkable, remarkable woman. She was 17 years old and in her last year of high school, and was at her friend's house, was being piggybacked down the stairs, and her friend slipped, fell backwards. She suffered a spinal injury and has used a wheelchair for the rest of her life moving forward. None of that has really stopped her. My friend has this in common with other resilient people. They are tenacious, they are courageous, they are confident, and they are determined. One of the things that I love about the Bible, the beauty of the Bible, is that it gives us these unvarnished looks into the lives of people who are going through difficult, challenging times. And you get to see examples of resilience. You get to see examples of a resolve to carry on in spite of what's happening around them as this guiding response in the midst of their difficulty. And there are many examples in the Bible of people like that. But the one person that I want to point you to today is the Apostle Paul. So you'll remember that Paul, in his early days, he was a young man of great privilege, of great power, of great position. He was like a religious lawyer. He would have had affluence and tremendous influence in his world. And then one day, on his way to Damascus to arrest believers and wreak more havoc on the church, you know the story, right? He's knocked down off his horse by this bright light. God speaks to him, and Jesus speaks to him and reveals himself to him. And in that moment that Paul meets Jesus and he has this encounter, Paul's life changes from this life of privilege and power and position and affluence to a life that would look like, from a distance, like he's on a permanent spin cycle of arrests and beatings and prison and punishment and shipwreck and being bitten by vipers, and the list goes on and on and on. Paul's life became completely chaotic, unpredictable, unsettling. And you'll know this because this passage of scripture will not be new to you. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. And, Paul was a very direct guy at times and kind of said things as it was. And in this particular case, he was sort of defending himself against accusations that were coming from the Corinthian church. And he says this: look, we're hard pressed on every side, hard pressed like a lemon, hard pressed, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And a little further down in chapter 4, Paul he's talking about how he's able to overcome, how he's able to be resilient within the context of what it is he is living through day after day and year after year as he gives himself to follow Jesus. So he addresses three factors that help us to live resilient lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. He writes and he says this: therefore, we do not lose heart. You know, depending on how you're wired and how you're made and what your makeup is and that kind of a thing, what we're going through right now, this COVID pandemic, this is a grind. This can be absolutely life-sucking. COVID robs us of things that we have taken for granted for most of our lives. COVID is sometimes brings with it heartbreaking consequences and challenges and difficulty. And yet Paul writes and he says this: therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. One of the things that in the early days of the pandemic, as things started to roll out, Barb and I were actually in California. We had gone down on vacation to spend some time with our son, who's going to school down there. And we just watched as the toilet paper vanished out of Costco's and Walmart's and canned goods vanished out of the stores. It was like you go to these places and there was nothing to buy. It was just bizarre. I mean, we found food and we were quite fine. It was just the two of us. We were okay. But it was just the fear that came along with us and the way that it was driven. Here's what I've learned is that our outward circumstances can wreak havoc with our emotions if we let our emotions run wild. Our outward circumstances can terrify us. What we see happening around us can just absolutely overwhelm us and discourage us and lead to depression and mental health issues, etc., etc., etc. And so Paul addresses our fear, and he says this: we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly God is renewing us. We just keep allowing God to renew us. So my first encouragement to you is we go through this season, we live through this season, we kind of wrap up the first half of year one, and as much as we'd like to hit reset on 2020 and do something different, we still have another 6 months and probably longer with this thing that we're going through. I want to encourage you with something, that you would first allow the Spirit of God, allow God to work in your life and renew you day by day. This season has taken a lot of things away, but it has given us some wonderful gifts in terms of being able to spend more time in His Word, spend more time praying and thinking and meditating. And you know what, friends? That's a great way to overcome and build resilience into our lives through this season. Paul goes on in verse 17 and he says this: for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Hey, did you get that? Our light and momentary troubles. I know some of you are going through things that do not feel light. Some of you are going through things that do not feel like they are momentary. You feel like your entire life has just been ripped apart. And you know what? In the natural world, in some cases, that is absolutely true. Your entire life has just been ripped apart, and my heart breaks for you. My heart breaks for you. But Paul has adopted this different perspective. Paul has stepped back from the pain and the moment and the things that he's in. And he says, you know what? These things are all light and momentary. And they are producing something in me, achieving for me in my life an eternal glory that far outweighs everything that I am going through right now. Here's lesson number two. What we believe about our season shapes how we respond in it. What I believe about what's happening around me shapes how I am able to respond to it. So if I believe that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, I fully believe this, and I know that I'm personally quite capable of this. If I believe life is going to hell in a handbasket, it is no great difficulty for me to begin a downward slide emotionally and spiritually and mentally. Not hard for me to do at all. But if I choose to believe that in spite of what I see around me, God is working out His eternal plans and purposes in my life, for my life, in my family, in leading influence, and that's the position that I've chosen to take. If I believe that God is working out His eternal plans and purposes, then my trials will not make me or break me. My trials will not break me, but instead they will achieve an eternal glory for me that far outweighs them all. And then Paul finishes. You can just sort of see that he's getting wound up, and there's beautiful things that are happening. Paul finishes and he says this: so we fix our eyes. We fix our eyes on what is, not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the ballpark where my sons played Little League ball. This is the ballpark where my youngest son began his journey to become an academic athlete, a college and university athlete. And that fence way, way out there, we had at one point buckets full of home run balls that he hit over that park. Or out of the park. And he would stand here. In fact, he would stand right here. I can't swing this way, but he swings right. He would stand right here, and he would watch the pitch come in. And he had the ability to focus on the ball, to see the ball, see where it was moving, swing his bat, and get it all together in the right place, make contact, and do something amazing. It's about his ability to focus. His ability to focus, see what was happening in the midst of your crisis, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of whatever season you are walking through in your life, whatever's going on, friends, I want to encourage you in this. Keep your eyes fixed on the things that matter. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who walks on the waves and says, come and walk with me. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on things that are eternal. And he will bring you through. I believe this, that as epic as this COVID season is in terms of the turmoil and the chaos that it is causing, we have entered in to an epic season, a greater epic season of God's mercy, of God's grace, of God's blessing upon his people, upon his church, and upon our nation. And so I'm saying, friends, let's stay focused together. Friends, let's believe together. Friends, let's not be sucked into fear, but let's stand firm together, knowing that God is in control, that he is leading and guiding and making a way for us. Hey, God bless you. Pastor Rich is coming, and he's gonna lead us in prayer. Thanks again for the opportunity to share with you today. Love you, PG Tab. Have a great day.
Well, hey, I hope that you have been challenged and encouraged today through the ministry of Jason and Song and Tim with the word and with his heart for mission. I pray that you will continue to pray for our politicians, our people that lead us. Let's ask God to really touch their lives and give them wisdom. You know, I'm standing outside the office of the the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, BC Yukon District, here in Langley. And I've been down for meetings, but you know, I just wanted to remind you that we're part of a bigger family. It's not just us in Prince George, but it's a large group of people, not only in BC and Yukon, but across Canada. So it's awesome to be reminded of that. And of course, as Christians and believers, we're worldwide. Just wanted to give a shout out this morning, if you don't mind. Pastor Tiffany has been going over and above and beyond in this season, and I just want to thank her, and would you encourage her and bless her in the days ahead. Also for Jason and all the online worship, and he's been going steady. And Bryce and Alina Unrah, you know, the tech people, they have bailed us out. So they put a lot of work in, and Bryce is newly employed again here in Prince George, so a lot of time and effort. So if you could bless them as well, I'd sure appreciate it. I mean, I want to give a pat on the back to everybody, but in particular, would you just lift up your voice to the Lord on their behalf, to ask him to bless them. Well, folks, we hopefully will begin to open up the building again for up to 50 people sometime mid-July. That's the goal. One of the things that we need is to have our live streaming in place. I'm insistent that as we gather in the building, that those that can't that day and are at home can be simultaneously worshiping God together. So that's what we're doing. We're going to have a little bit of a run through in the next little while to see how the building is set up. But again, have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. And may the Lord bless you and be filled with his joy. In his name, amen.